I have to tell our listeners, this series, I know at least for Jessica, I don't know about for Tiff, but and Jessica and I, we were hooked and hogtied through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty excited to like get in and talk about mm-hmm. this series. So
I might have read it in a week.
Yeah, she's with us.
You came in this week and she's like, I read those in a week. I was like, wow.
Every night I had a different book.
Yeah.
But and I really finished good. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were good. On the Kindle, right?
Yeah.
So the first time I read them was on the Kindle and I was like the same way. Like, please tell me the next one's in Kindle Unlimited.
Right.
Please tell me I can get to it.
Well, I tried to get them through the library app, but they have a huge wait. Like, they were like 3 months out for yeah. the. So,
oh, we're not waiting 3 months.
No, I was I need to get these. And I was thankful they were on the Kindle. So and
especially like, okay, this is going to be my last chapter. And then it leaves you hanging.
Right.
Like, okay, I got to read one more. Okay, and then, now you had to keep going.
And I actually read like the few pages at the end of the book, which I normally don't. But I read them because I'm like, who's the next book about? Like, where is this going?
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
Well, welcome back to another Literary Escape podcast episode. Today we're going to dive into a new series which I'm super excited about, and it is the Minnesota Kingstons. I hope I said that right. Kingstons,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
By Susan May Warren. But I just have to let everyone know, because I don't know if you're new to the channel, you may not know this. We batch record episodes. So we read a whole series, then we get together on a Saturday morning and we record all the episodes on it, and we record way in advance so that my wonderful husband, Derek, has time to edit the audio and the video. So it's March, but these are coming out in like June or July. So when we're sitting here in sweaters, that's why it's March in northern Indiana and it's cold outside.
And it's
I even have like my, if anybody can see, but I'm not going to lift my feet. I have my little winter socks on. So when you watch this in June or July and see our outfits, you're going to think, what is wrong with it? But that's why. And also, Jessica over there is wearing her March Lucky to be a Librarian mm-hmm. because it is March as we sit here and discuss the series. So, by the way, did y'all survive the extremely windy day yesterday?
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had that before. It's just constant all day long.
Yeah, they were saying almost 70 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
In Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was blowing semis over.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Yes, on 33. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I-69, a bunch.
My goodness.
It's wild.
Yeah. Wild. Crazy. Crazy weather. This March has been really crazy with the
Well,
and
it's supposed to get
downs,
like Saturday, 60 with thunderstorms.
Yeah, tomorrow.
But then we're going to have threats of hail, like what we had like Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's going to snow afterwards and drop to the
20s. Yeah. And then jump right back up by the end of the week to the 60s. It's, this is Indiana.
Yeah.
I heard one time, I don't know, maybe Derek shared it with me. Was it back in World War II? They like to have men from Indiana in our subs because they could handle the fluctuation.
Mm.
Oh, the bellies of all the ships. Okay. I have Derek off to the side doing our audio, so he helps me out with stuff I forget. So,
well,
that was pretty neat, but it's just because in Indiana, we fluctuate so much, especially in northern Indiana. Because
they're having like a blizzard up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
But do you guys remember, did March come in like a lion or a lamb? I'm trying to remember.
I believe it came in like a lamb, which means it's going out like
a lion.
Supposedly. We'll see if it holds to that. But I feel like those first few days of March were actually really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it wasn't like the end of February nice.
Yeah. Then, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, all right, okay. Now we'll get into our normal, regular scheduled programming. All right, quick question. So, you know, on this podcast, we talk about historical Christian romance and contemporary Christian suspense romance. So how do the courtship styles differ between the two genres, and which do you find more romantic, the formality and restraint of historical courtship or the freedom and directness of modern dating?
Mm. Let's start with Jessica on this one.
Probably the historical, I would say.
Do you just like the formality of it?
Yeah.
There were lines and you didn't cross the lines, mm-hmm. and men were very gentlemanly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more in my comfort range.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just spicy.
Yeah. I mean, I not saying that these aren't, but it's more, like you said, direct. It's more. Mm-hmm. Like what they do in there, they wouldn't.
They would never do.
You would not be kissing in public or,
yeah,
you know, certain things. So I just think that it can be more romantic in the historical. Mm.
There's more of those sweet. Well, you can get sweet gestures mm-hmm. in the contemporary, too. But there are more of those, which is more what Jessica likes. We know that.
Mm-hmm. I wrote it with a hard question because I enjoy the books or movies that are the historical Christian, but I'm not sure, like, I could handle being in that era, you know, like, because yeah. I like the freedom and directness of the modern dating yeah. in the books. So mm-hmm. if I had to live in one, I would pick more modern, I think, because I don't know. I would, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to have our electricity and running right. water.
I know. Those are the things that I'm like, mm-hmm. but the other things I'm like, oh, that might be fun. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I like the formality of the historical, but I do like more of the freedom available in the contemporary too. So I'm a fan of both. Mm-hmm. And when I say freedom, it's not because, like, oh, you can get away with more
right.
spicy things. That's not what I mean. But kind of like what you talked about, there's more like I'm holding your hand in public. I'm giving you a hug. I might give you a kiss. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if people are watching type mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I don't know. Even though I'm not a fan of PDA.
Yeah, I'm like.
And I get embarrassed if Derek gives me a kiss in public. But I still enjoy it. But I get embarrassed, so you know, I think that's probably how we were raised. I think that's mm-hmm. probably why
mm-hmm.
mom was. One time Derek literally gave me a little peck on the lips to say goodbye. One time, I mean, like a peck when we were dating, and I got into mom's car. Oh boy, did I get it!
Willie,
oh yeah, if you're willing to do that in public, what are you doing in private? And I was like, Mom, we're not doing anything, it was literally a peck on the lips. But she was raised very, very, very formally.
Old fashioned.
Yep.
I think it's because the age of how old yeah. they were. Yeah.
And Mom, if you're listening, we love you.
Mm-hmm. We love you.
I am glad you put restrictions in because you kept us on the straight and narrow. I'm
yeah.
sure. All right. Are we ready to get into our book now?
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell our listeners, this series, I know at least for Jessica, I don't know about for Tiff, but and Jessica and I, we were hooked and hogtied through the whole thing, mm-hmm. so we're pretty excited to, like, get in and talk about mm-hmm. this series. So
I might have read it in a week.
Yeah, she's okay. She's with us.
You came in this week, and she's like, I read those in a week. I was like, wow.
Every night, I had a different book.
Yeah.
But and I really finished good. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
they were good.
On the Kindle, right?
Yeah.
So the first time I read them was on the Kindle, and I was, like, the same way. Like, please tell me the next one's in Kindle Unlimited.
Right.
Please tell me. Get to it.
Because I tried to get them through the library app, but they have a huge wait. Like, they were like 3 months out for yeah. them. So,
oh, we're not waiting 3 months.
No, I was like, I need to get these, and I was thankful they were on the Kindle. So, and
especially like, okay, this is gonna be my last chapter, and then it leaves you hanging,
right?
Like, okay, I gotta read one more. Okay, and then, now you had to keep going.
And I actually read like the few pages at the end of the book, which I normally don't. But I read them because I wanted. I'm like, who's the next book about? Like, yeah. Where's this going?
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh yeah, we're gonna get into them. I think it's gonna be quite a lively discussion this time. So we'll start with the first book in the series, which is Jack. And this is the, I think I said it earlier, the Minnesota Kingston series by Susan May Warren. So there's trouble in the north. Sparks fly and danger looms at a wedding that's anything but ordinary. Harper Monroe, the girl next door turned sharp-witted journalist, turns sleuth when her best friend, bridesmaid, and celebrity podcaster Penelope Pepper goes missing right before the high-profile wedding of their friend Boo Kingston. But to find Penny, Harper will have to work with the man who hates her. Dot, dot, dot. Enter Jack Kingston, the boy next door who broke her heart. Now a ruggedly charming missing persons tracker with a past he'd rather forget, finds himself reluctantly thrust back into the limelight to find Penelope. Keeping his sister's wedding from turning into a scandal is one thing. Dealing with Harper, whose betrayal he hasn't quite forgiven, is another challenge entirely. As the wedding day approaches, stakes skyrocket. Harper and Jack must navigate a dangerous maze of lies and secrets. The closer they get to the truth, the deeper they delve into peril. If they fail to find Penelope in time, the consequences could be devastating, not just for Boo's big day, but for their own lives. An unrequited love, closed doors, sweet and suspenseful romance about second chances and finding the family you always wanted. That last line, finding the family you always wanted, goes for Harper, and I loved that. In her character development, by the way, because let's just talk about Jack and his family first, because they're pretty close-knit family.
Mm-hmm.
Harper doesn't have that. So what were your thoughts when you first got introduced? Can I just say, so like Boo is the youngest of the siblings and that are featured in here, mm-hmm. and I think her story was featured in a separate series.
She's got a lot
prior
of
to this. Yeah. She likes to weave her characters all together.
Yeah.
So when I first started reading it, I was slightly confused on, like, because you kind of jump in as if you know, kind of know who's
yeah.
who and who Boo is and why Jack is kind of like, what would you say, removed, not really removed from the family, but he's distanced
kind of more
himself.
Distant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't been around very much.
Yeah. So it for anyone picking the series up, if you haven't read it, look, I had it with me so much I bent my cover a little bit. That might get a little tricky at first, but then you, as you get in a little bit further, it starts settling in. You know who's who and what's going on. But I don't know. What were your thoughts on Jack and his family? Or did you have trouble at first tracking?
Well, people? At first, yeah, because you're like, there's no book about Boo in the series. So
right.
you're like, why are we starting with this character? Mm-hmm. But kind of a little bit, because you didn't really know what order they were in. You kind of didn't know. It was just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, because at first the title is Jack, and you're like, well, this is about Boo, and is it Oakland's wedding? So
yeah.
I'm like, how is this going to play in? But I think she does a good job throughout the book, like, describing kind of what went down and why he feels the way he does, but it does kind of build up to that.
Yeah, she drops little pieces here and there, like through conversations. So Jack, so it sounds like it's been a little bit too since I read these, because I'm already on to other books we're doing, but Jack, and I'm sorry, Boo was in the Navy?
Like a search and rescue team?
Or search and rescue team, yeah. Something like that. And then she got challenged, took on a challenge because he told her you can't do it, but he said that out of fear for her because he's the oldest brother, and remember when they were little he lost her in the woods and he's like never forgiven himself for that. And so I think his words were said in love, but they came out really not lovingly. And it's what pushed her to go in, because
it was a reality show, wasn't it?
Yeah. But something about the Navy, too, because remember, Steinbeck was in the Navy, and
he didn't want
his sister in the armed forces, if I remember right.
Yes. Too dangerous.
It was too
and
dangerous.
And so she wanted to prove him wrong. And
so
then
they're like, you pretty much shoved her into it because she had to prove you wrong. And
yeah.
Yeah. It was, there was just a lot of tension between the family. But they all took him right back in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Any thoughts on his family?
I loved his little family compound, it sounded like. I want a little bed and breakfast. It makes you want to, like, do that, I guess.
All the different houses, like the inn, and then, house is this house, and,
And her cooking sounds delicious.
My goodness,
And the bonfires.
Yes, like that kind of night. Yeah. Every night would be so fun.
Yeah.
It would be relaxing. I would love that. Yeah. It does make you want to go, couldn't we just live a little closer, everybody? But then you think, day to day, I don't know how that's going to go.
Right? Especially if they just walk in and, hey, I'm here. Like, this is my home. So
I don't really, that doesn't really bother me as much. Oh, you mean guests or?
Just your siblings. If they you're just.
I don't know. We should try it. Let's
come in
Jessica's
house.
Just walk through.
The time, like, you know, hey, I'm here. Like, okay, maybe I don't want you here. You know, like
Jessica.
No, you know what I'm saying. Like,
I know reality is it's rare that welcome mat is open all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because everybody needs their downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. Mine is, you better text or call before you come over.
I think a lot of people are.
I may be
in
my PJs still, and I need to get myself around.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's one of those that doesn't wear sweatpants in public. She gives me a hard time, like, if I wear these or something. And I remember her saying, I was raised better or raised there. I'm like, we were raised by the same parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it stuck with me. Apparently, it didn't stick with you.
It's not pajamas. I would never go with my pajamas.
What's funny is me and Nat just had this conversation because that is like what a lot of people wear out in public. Though.
Pajamas?
Pajama pants or like sweatpants or
but
joggers.
I don't really think these
and
are
I
like...
normally am like kind of like you. I like to make sure I have jeans or
no, I
some,
have leggings but... on, but I have like a dress over it. So
right.
That's okay.
But I did wear joggers out. And Nat was like, see, Mom, it's fine. It's fine. Look around. Everybody else is wearing joggers. So I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And it makes me, because Grandma will always put her jeans on. I'm like, Grandma, you look fine. No, I can't wear these sweatpants. She always has sweatpants.
Yes. See, and that is very much still in my
head. But it is like the style right now.
The few times where I'm like, oh, I'll do like, you know how schools, we do dress up days. So they'll have PJ days. I've only done it once. And I felt I hit the darn mic again. I'm sorry, guys. I felt uncomfortable the entire day. It's not worth it. Like, I was more stressed out that I was in public in pajamas than anything. And it never fails that on, like, your crazy dress-up days for school, a parent wants to come in and talk to you. And you're like, I don't look professional at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't do it.
I loved pajama days, especially at the primary. They were, like, right before pajama days.
I wear scrubs every day, so they're like pajamas. So.
Yeah. Like, so I loved wearing pajamas, like, for that. And it never made me uncomfortable. But
I'm just so bad when I had my first surgery and I was all swollen down here and I had to go back to the ER because I was having chest pains. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get jeans on, and Derek's like, stop already. Mm-hmm. Just put your sweatpants on.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I mean, I don't think you should ever wear pajamas out in public. No, I did that one time and it really irritated me. I got a text saying Emma's glasses were in.
Yeah.
And it was like, the office is all, I'm like, okay, we'll just stop. Well, she had two pairs of glasses and I walked in my pajamas with Emma. I'm like, oh no, only one pair came. I would have never stopped.
Oh, because it was pajama
day at
and
school.
You,
and I was like, I'm just going to stop. I would have never stopped if I didn't realize only one pair was in. And I'm like, I'm in my pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
I would have never stopped. But yeah, I was like, okay, hurry up. Get them on her.
Yeah. I am curious, like, how many people have that rule with their family. Like, yeah, just come on in. Like, I feel like all of our aunts and uncles were that way. Grandma, grandpa, both grandparents were that way. If you're here, just come on in. I don't know. Maybe when you get older, you're more put together.
Yeah. Grandma is.
Yeah.
Well, I think in that time period, too, they got up, they got ready for the day at earlier times than, like, what we were.
Yeah, during the week, sure, but, you know, we're not here, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, we get home, we're in our comfy clothes. Mm-hmm. Saturdays, it's comfy clothes. I guess with family, it doesn't really matter if they see you in your PJs. But anyways, we digress. We digress. All right. What about Harper and her family and then also her friend Penelope Pepper? Let's just start with Harper and her family first. Your thoughts.
Harper's family was sad. Yeah. Like, she came to see her mom, and her mom barely acknowledged her, I felt like, and was off on another adventure and redoing the house again. And
like, we did a room and got rid of a bunch of stuff.
Stuff
like,
that was sentimental.
It just made me sad right off the bat for her that she didn't have a supportive family.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you have to go stay with them. I don't have room for you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel sad.
Which that's where you get into her storyline. She has, as a kid, since she's little, she's been in love with Jack. Because it's Big Jack, right? Everybody, mm-hmm. he was the hero of the town, you know. He always found kids that were lost or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she's always had this hero worship. But part of it, too, was she's always wanted that close-knit family that he has. And she's always wanted to be a Kingston. I can't say the name. That's she's always wanted to be a part of that. And when you meet her mom, I'm like, oh, I can understand why, because she doesn't have that at all.
And I thought she lives so close to the inn. Mm-hmm. Like walking, I'm like, oh, that would be nice. She could spend time with her mom. And and then she gets in there and her mom was like, no.
Yeah, it's pretty much like, you're an adult, whatever. Take care of yourself. I don't know. I thought Harper was sweet, but her and Jack both had some misconceptions that at times I'm like, would you just like talk to each other? Mm-hmm. And you could figure it out.
They do that later in the series too. Mm-hmm. Drove me nuts.
Yeah. So what did you think about Penelope Pepper though? Because she's the one that kind of honestly brings the two together, because they're both trying to find her.
I was kind of irritated with her, like,
she did irritate me. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
She is a little too adventurous, a little bit too, like, nosy. I don't know. She was just digging into stuff she shouldn't dig into, I felt like. I don't know.
Yeah, and when you're starting to get threats, make maybe, like, back off or get some security in place.
Right, especially when you learn what kind of family she came from.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? That drove me nuts, too.
Oh, yeah. She, she didn't have limits. She couldn't, it's almost like she couldn't help herself. She just had to push to get, I don't know. She did drive me nuts. She comes back in the series and she grows on me. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get to that in next week's episode. She does grow on me, but anyways. What did you think about, like, the plot, the conflict, and the resolution as we went through Jack and Harper's story? Because the whole thing is centered around
Boo's wedding.
Boo's wedding and Penelope being missing, and everyone's got a clue that comes in, right? Mm-hmm. So they're following clues and trying to figure things out. But then there's also attacks on them. So, like, his schoolie gets burnt to the ground, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's a big, like, devastation for him. But then I kind of like how it forces him to stay, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Then
yes.
Harper, this whole time, Boo is allowing her to have, like, an exclusive story on her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's also, like, as she's working on this exclusive story, she's also writing this romance novel that basically is featuring Jack, mm-hmm. right, as the hero. Tell me a little bit of your thoughts on those things. Because am I right that a section of her novel accidentally got posted instead of the story on
the wedding?
Yes.
And what did you think about Jack's reaction to that?
He was a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
He was super embarrassed. Yeah. Which is why he, like, lashed out at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then had to go and apologize. But I was kind of shocked a little bit. Like, he was embarrassed. He's like, I'm not a hero like that. I mean, he was just really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That was disappointing. I'm like, oh, Jack, come on. Because he's been in love with her, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, here your lady love is writing this romance with you in it. And
right, right.
Then you go and chew her out for it.
Yeah. But he's so worried about the age difference.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the whole mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
This whole, oh, yeah.
The whole conflict with him mm-hmm. and when he felt betrayed because she was actually the little girl. Because he knew her since a little girl, yeah. right? But then she grew up too. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, smart, all this. But he still kept like, seeing her as a little
like 12
girl.
Years?
No.
It wasn't that much.
Was it 6 years, maybe?
Maybe. Whatever yeah. is between him and Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she went on that missions trip with Doyle. That Doyle kind of led up. And she went with him. She was 18 at the time. But she was a senior in high school. But Jack didn't recognize her as Pigtails. Is that what he called
yeah,
her?
Yeah,
I think so.
Something
yeah.
like that. And so he was getting close. And did they kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on the beach because she wrote about it. That was part of her novel.
That's right. They kissed on the beach, and then Doyle was teasing her and said, looks like you found your date to prom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jack was, like, completely disgusted with
yeah.
himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had kissed her. You're still in high school? He thought she was in college and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. But then Jack has his own... There was another girl while he was in college.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And that ended up with her. Spoiler alert. Did I say it?
Mm.
So he's written his own book about that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Although through the whole thing, he claims we weren't dating. We weren't romantic. We were just friends. But then I feel like one of his brothers was like, dude, your feelings for her went deeper than that, but there's a reason why that relationship is gone. So I'll save that one since mm-hmm. that's kind of a big I mm-hmm. won't spoil that one, but
mm-hmm.
so anyways, I don't know. It was a roller coaster ride for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. What did you think about the dirty dancing routine? Dirty dance that
was
routine.
Cracking
I said that wrong.
Dirty dancing.
So Boo and is it Oakland?
Oakland.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For their after at their reception, they are doing the dirty dance routine.
Yeah, the final scene.
Yes.
You know, with the lift
fly
and everything.
Into his arms scene. But then their wedding party is part of that routine mm-hmm. as well. So then Jack and Harper are paired, so they have to dance together and everything, which I just absolutely love. But what did you think? I mean, what did you think about that for their wedding?
That was awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it, if I could remember.
The guys were cracking me up.
I know, like how they described how each one was looked as they were dancing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my word.
And how they kept missing all these rehearsals for the dance,
yeah.
you know, because they're looking for Penelope, but mm-hmm. somehow they learned it and mm-hmm. the way they described it was perfect.
Who was it that practiced in front of the mirror
at midnight? Was it Jack? Yeah.
Because he had missed so many. He was like practicing
up all late the night
yeah.
before. Yeah.
Just to make
I love
his
that.
Sister's wedding great.
Mm-hmm.
What a great brother.
Right. That was yeah. quite the wedding week. Like,
oh my goodness.
There was a
lot of stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
It was a whole
during the
wedding
routine.
Week.
Do that?
Yeah, I don't.
And they had
the
spa day, and yeah, it was
yeah.
just
yeah.
And
Lydia
the guys
better
had
not.
Their thing, and
Lyd, girls, no wedding week.
Yeah,
no wedding week, Lyd.
Yeah, we didn't do a wedding week either.
Yeah, that was a lot leading
mainly
up to it.
Because a lot of people are young when they get married, and they don't have the money nor the time off from work to
right.
do a wedding week, and then their wedding,
and
then
the
honeymoon.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and the people in their wedding party are generally around the same age, so it's not like they've got the time
mm-hmm.
or the money to
yeah
right,
to
just
do
take
that.
The whole week.
But these guys come from money, so they can afford it. All right, any events in the story that just, like, stuck with you, made an impression, surprised you, or delighted you?
I don't know if we were going to speak about Phoenix.
Yeah, that comes up next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get to Phoenix.
That
one stuck with you, that storyline?
Well, just trying to figure it out.
Right? Because like, it goes through the whole series.
Yeah, it goes through the whole series.
Okay, we'll dig into that in just a moment.
I feel like there was a lot of surprises throughout this book. I don't want to spoil them, but
that's okay.
I feel like
we could say spoiler alert if you haven't read it.
Everything is all nice and calm, and then boom, something happens, and then they get through that, and then I feel like boom, there's another thing that happens.
Yeah,
like
it's just a roller coaster.
Uh-huh. And keeps compounding. And
especially
with the Phoenix line throughout the whole series.
Yes,
they just build on it.
One of the scenes that stuck with me that I probably love the most, it's always at the end, though, when you're getting ready to have your happy ever after. But that was when, at the very end, that guy comes back, bashes Penelope in the face, and then Harper had come out on the porch and screamed and then took off running, and the guy chased after her. And she's like in her wedding outfit, in her heels, she's rolling her ankles, she's rolling down the hill through the woods, just trying to get to safety. And then the guy ends up catching up to her and is on top of her and is about ready to punch her. And Jack comes flying through the air and knocks him off of her. And he punches the guy and says, "Nobody touches my woman." Remember that? See?
Mm-hmm. It's been a while. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, yes, that's where my heart really melts. Then his Steinbeck has to, like, pull him off the guy, and he's like, I got him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one that stuck with me, but I love it because it's actually he finally is, like, because I feel like right before that is when he was kind of really harsh towards her about, why are you writing a romance novel?
Because you feel like they were getting close, like, getting, like, oh, they're starting to. And then, boom.
Yeah, he was cold at the wedding to her.
Yeah, he was. He was. So then she was out. She was devastated, which is why she went outside. Then that's when she caught the guy attacking Penelope and so forth. So we won't say who the guy is, but yeah. All right. Now, Jessica, this is what you want to talk about. What do you think about the secondary storyline that goes throughout the entire series featuring Steinbeck and Phoenix?
I'm just trying to figure out who she is, who she's working for, and what is she trying to figure out? Like, what is she really trying to get? Because it was like she had to get, it was Declan, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird. It was not weird, but it was just like trying to figure it out.
I know.
And it left you hanging at the end of the book because it's not solved till the.
So for anyone who hasn't read it, there's like little snippets, and I mean little.
Yeah, very little snippets.
That are from Phoenix's point of view, and then it'll switch to Steinbeck's point of view, and then you're back into the main story, and then then you come back to him. It's just this in and out.
And I was trying to figure out how does Phoenix know Steinbeck, and Steinbeck know. She looks familiar, but I don't think it could be her.
Because they have a history.
Yeah.
That you learn. Mm-hmm. Which I think that's what makes the last two books featuring Austin and Steinbeck my favorite. Because it's like you've been trying to figure this out and it's finally starting to.
And it really starts coming in Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's like they're doing a tango this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just dancing around each other and like, she knows all him. She has not forgotten him, but he is still trying to like pull memories back.
Well, she also changes her appearance and eye colors.
And everything.
Not to give too much away, but
she doesn't spy.
Yeah. She doesn't use her real name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I like her real name. We'll reveal that when we read her book, her real name. Were there any words of wisdom that stuck with you from the book? Because there is always faith built in to Susan's books. Oh, right here was my scene. It said, then he walked over and dropped to his knees in front of her. No one gets to hurt my girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love at the end. Love it. Yeah. I'm just remembering all the things I marked. Do you remember when he was so upset about her story? And who is he talking to? Someone, Conrad, said, I'll tell you why you're upset. Because you're secretly in love with her. And it horrifies you. Oh, good old Conrad.
Yeah, after the last two books, you kind of forget about Conrad and his story.
Yeah,
His was kind of mellow compared to...
Yeah, Conrad's but was his was, mellow.
But it really wasn't when we talk about it. It really wasn't.
This is one I liked. It's a words of wisdom from his dad. Because Jack is like, everyone just has seen me as a hero since I was a kid because he was always,
Boy
Scout sports, and he was just good at everything he did, and he was always helping people out, and he's kind of like, doesn't want that. So his dad said, I don't know, because Jack said, let's not turn this into a hero thing. I get paid to find people. Some might call me a mercenary. And his father shook his head. I don't know who told you that. You had to be the best. I hope it wasn't me. But you need to know that the only one looking at your failure, judging you by your failure, is you.
Mm-hmm. Is that when they were in the wood shop, I think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because his dad said, I know you hate being called out. And you don't do vulnerable well. And he's like, I'm not a jerk. He goes, that's not what I said. You hold everyone away because you think that your failures will make you less in people's eyes. You care very deeply about your people. That's why you ridiculed your sister when she wanted to re-up with the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he gets upset. And he's like, she's going to be in danger again. She can't do that. You know, that kind of stuff. I just thought their dad was... a lot of wisdom in there. Did you guys have any?
None that I can think of. I'm sure there are some, but I just can't think of it.
All right, let's get into our ratings. We did a lot of tangents on that book. Are we ready? What would you give the mystery level for this book?
I'm going a latte.
Oh, yeah. You have a missing person with Penelope, and then you have the...
explosions and
murders. Well, that would be suspense.
Well, yeah.
You think?
I don't know. You don't know who exploded.
But you have the Steinbeck and Phoenix mystery too.
Yeah, and the Penelope. Like, what the heck?
Yeah,
is...
and you have a little bit of mystery of like, what in the world happened in Jack's college years? Because that comes out later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, suspense.
Latte.
There's where your explosions, murders. There were a few murders in there. And chasing scenes. What about the inspiration level?
It's in there, but it's not.
I would say more espresso.
Yeah, espresso to
espresso to mocha.
Yeah,
it's there, but she weaves it in really well. It's subtle. It's just in how they live their daily lives. Their faith comes out. What about the drama level?
And a latte.
Latte.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot with the with everything going on with the wedding, and I think Penelope brings a lot of drama in, even though there's a large chunk of the story she's not really there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of drama. Harper's got drama with her mom. And then Jack's really got drama with his family because it's almost like he's re-entering
because
he's been away for a while. What about the romance level?
Espresso.
Yeah,
I'd say espresso too. It's there, but it's not
super, it's sweet.
It's a sweet.
There's something else I wanted to say about the book, like in the very beginning. How, like, Jack shows up for the wedding, and she's saying, like, Jack's a groomsman or whatever.
Yeah.
And they say, well, Doyle finally agreed to be a usher. At least that's something. And they kept hinting at something with Doyle.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, I wonder what happened to Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It's a little late to think. I just thought of that while we were talking. Like, you know, that's weaved in there. Another, like,
And okay. That's book three.
Yeah. You're like, wonder what that's all about.
Yeah. His story, that was a sad. We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
All right. Overall lasso rating of Jack?
Three.
Three lassos. We only give up to three lassos in case anyone's new to the channel. So when we say three, that's the best you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Because one is a throw and a miss. Two is a hook. And three is hooked and hogtied.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that is the end of our discussion of Minnesota Kingston's first book, Jack. And next week we'll be back with Conrad. And in the meantime, you'll want to head over to literaryescape.com and look at our book club. You can join and be a member of our book club for just $7 a month. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.